Thank you, Ms. Karina. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ephesians. Thank God for the new year. With a lot of times, the new year that comes, we have something called a new year resolution. And some of you have done really well on your diet for the last couple of days, 5 days or so. You've done well with your exercise. You've done well with different things that you've committed to. Maybe you said, you know what, I'm going to eat right. You've done real well. And the test is not this week. The test will be next week, all right? So make sure you keep it up. But I thank God for what the Bible says, forgetting the things which are behind. We've got to forget 2019. Forget all the bad stuff that we did. Maybe some bad habits. You need to get rid of those habits. And then the Bible says, reaching forward to the future, if you will, or pressing towards the mark that's set before us. And we've got to reach forward to 2020. What can we do better in 2020 than we did in 2019? Forget the bad things and then improve on the things that you want to improve. One of the things I need to improve on is my joke telling. My friend thinks he's smart. He took me he told me an onion is the only food that makes you cry. So I threw in a coconut at his face. Okay, that wasn't real good. Hopefully this one does better. What happens to a frog's car when it breaks down? It gets towed away. Okay? All right. Is Google male or female? Answer female, because it doesn't let you finish a sentence before making a suggestion. All right, I'm not a male chauvinist pig or anything. I love women, love my wife, love all the ladies. They're good people. Can't live without them. A teacher asked her student to use the word bean in a sentence. Beans. My father grow beans. One girl replied. My mother cook beans. Said a boy. A third student spoke up. We are all human beans. So, it's the last one. A pregnant woman from Virginia was involved in a car accident, and while in the hospital, she fell into a coma. When she awoke days later, the woman noticed that she was no longer carrying her child and asked, "Doctor, what happened to my baby?" The doctor replied, "Ma'am, you had twins. You're the proud mother of a handsome baby boy and a beautiful baby girl. Also, you should know that while you were in a coma, your brother named the children for you." "Oh, no," the woman exclaimed. "My brother, he's not really all up there, if you know what I mean," the doctor replied. "Well, ma'am, your brother named your daughter Denise." "Oh, not so bad," smiled the woman, then hesitated a little bit and asked, "What's the boy's name?" The doctor grinned and smiled a bit and said, "The nephew." So that's from Brother Snyder's neck of the woods there. So anyhow, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. So don't have a hillbilly name your kids, all right? It's better than having Asian people name their kids, right? Pastor Esposito said this. He said, how do Asian people name their kids? I'm Asian. They said they just take a lot of silver and drop it, and whatever the sound makes, that's it. Ching, chong, ching, ching, ching. That is super racist. Super racist. We got our hillbillies, Asians. Let's get the Hispanics here pretty soon. So I don't have one for the one with the father, how to cook beans or something like that. So it's all racist today. Ephesians chapter 5. And the husband is the head of the wife. And the men said, well, okay, it's good. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If you could turn back to Matthew, turn back a couple of books there. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew in verse, chapter 16 and verse 18. The Bible says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, you could just listen. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these next couple, 15, 20, 30 minutes we have together here. Help us, Lord, to listen and be better people because we've been here, and that we can be better Christians and be better lovers of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God has established three institutions, three very important institutions. He established in Genesis chapter 2 the home. And by the way, the home is probably the most important institution that God has established. You see, because our country, Pastor Esposito usually say this, we have a weak country because we have basically it goes down to weak churches. And we have weak churches because we have weak men in our church. The home is important. Genesis chapter 2, God established three institutions there. Genesis chapter 2, the home. And then the government, Romans chapter 3, God established the government. And then lastly, and as important, God has established the church in Matthew chapter 16. Every institution that God has established is important. And we as Bible-believing Christians must see the importance of them. We must do all we can as Christians to preserve, protect, and strengthen the institution of the church. The Bible states, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ paid a high price for the church. The church is important. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the universal, invisible church that is a fable, if you will. I'm talking about the local, Bible-believing, local Baptist church here, Pacific Baptist Church. God has established this institution, and this church is very important. By the way, how important is the church to you? How important have you been, or what have you been doing to show the importance of the church? How much do you love the church? I love our church. I grew up in this church. I started coming to our church here when I was 14 years old. And man, the church has gone through, if you will, and I'll use this word, has evolved into something magnificent. I mean, when we first came, I remember coming from Massachusetts down here. And I remember the palm trees. I remember the weather. I remember just California. I was at awe. I'm like, I'm driving down. I see Long Beach and then Lakewood. And it's Lakewood by Hollywood. And I'm thinking, this is California. This is the lands of fruits and nuts. And I came out here, I loved it. I went outside, I was a skater, and I went skating. I didn't know back in the early 90s about the gang violence. Didn't know about that. Didn't know about the Asian and Hispanic war. I didn't know that. I just thought everybody loved each other. We are one in the spirit. Let's all hands sing kumbaya. We love each other. I know. It was a big surprise to me when I went skating, and people ask me where I'm from, and I say, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, and they still didn't like it. Now, you want me to go further? I'm from Cambodia, okay? They didn't like that either. There's some call, oh, you got sweat. I was like, what are you talking about? You got sweat. They asked you where you're from. I said, I thought when people ask you where you're from, where's your origin? You know, I would go back, I'm human, you know? But I love our church, and I've seen God do great things here in our church. I've seen the infant stages of our church when, I mean, man, we had nothing. We had nothing. Our church was a gray box. And I thank God here this year, we're moving into a very nice, a beautiful building. I went in there the other day, Brother Joseph Esposito. I went in there the other day, Brother Joe. And I stood there by myself. Nobody was there. And as I walked in, the lights, we have smart lights. Back in the day, we had dumb lights because dumb people would turn it on. Now it just turns on by itself. And, you know, as you walk the further, the lights turn on. And it's like, oh, this is amazing. And I'm standing there by myself, and my heart was full. And I think about all the sacrifices people have made, and my family has made, and our pastor and and his family has made. And almost tears were almost welding up, and somebody came and like, I'm good. I think of the great things God has done in the history of our church. God is amazing God. The church is important. There was a 100-year-old church member who was having his birthday celebration at his church. He had been faithfully attending since he was a young man. At the birthday celebration, everyone had ice cream, cake, gave him cards, gifts in the fellowship hall. The entire group of his family and friends, numbering over 100 people, were asked to come to the church sanctuary. His great-grandson, a young man in his early 30s, had to come up to the pulpit. Before most of the church congregation, he asked the question in a loud voice, "Great-grandpa, we all know that you can barely hear and can hardly see. So tell us, why do you still go to church every single Sunday?" The 100-year-old faithful Christian answered, "Because I love Jesus." And he said, "I love my church with all my heart. He commanded me to be here, and I just want to show everybody whose side I'm on." 100-year-old man said, "I'm for the church." He counted it important to be at church. Church, the institution of the church, the local Baptist church, was important to him. By the way, I'd asked this before, how important is church to you? How important is our church to you? People, when they come, they'll say that church. When they come, they'll say this church. And when they become a member here and they buy into what God has, the vision that God has placed here, it becomes our church. Let's not, I go to that church. Let's say I go to our church here. I love our church. I love what our church stands for. I love the vision that God has for our church. I love the preacher at the church. I love the staff member at the church. I love my co-laborers. I love the ministry workers. I love the people here. The people make the church. We have an amazing church. Church, we have a bright future. So how do we love the church more? If the church is so important to us, what have we been doing as members of the church, as God's people here, to make the church better, to get leave the church for the next generation? You know what? I get to travel some, and I go to different churches, and sometimes I see the progress. I go on vacation sometimes, and I go to try to go to the same church. And you see the progression where a church was once fiery. A church had fiery preaching. A church had God's people that loved him and had a zeal about him. Hey, guys. Hey. Sit up. Thank you. This is not sleeping time. Somebody once said, I was in chapel one time. I mean, man, the guy was preaching. Yeah, afterwards, everybody left, and he ripped this one guy that was sleeping. He said, "Sir, it's not that you're sleeping. It's that you're sleeping comfortably." These young men were sleeping comfortably here. Sit up straight, man. I love the church. I love everything about our church. The churches, some I go to, I see that they're on fire. And then maybe 3, 4, 5 years later, there's a decline. Let me say this. Let's not have that happen to our church. Let's have our church be that fiery church, that the church of the people that love God, and the people that have a heart right with God, and the people that's willing to serve. So what do we do as Pacific Baptist church members to further the cause of what God has called us to do here? Number one, pray for the church and the leaders. And when I say pray, I don't mean, you know, just pray. I mean fervently prayer. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. By the way, in 2020, I want to encourage you, set a goal for your prayer life. I will pray for the church and its leaders. Pray for God to bless our church. Pray for God's favor in our church. Pray for God's protection in our church. Pray for God's power in our church. Our church needs prayer. By the way, pray for God to continue the work that God has started here at our church. Pray that our church is still zealous for soul winning. Pray that our church still stands for righteousness. Pray that our church is a beacon of the gospel and not just a place we come fellowship. Somebody said, "No prayer, no power." By the way, you ought to pray for our pastor. I pray for our pastor daily. And by the way, I let him know. I'll text him. I'll say, "Hey, pastor, I prayed for you. I want you to know if you need anything, let me know." By the way, and I say that and I mean it. If you need something, try to provide it. Pray for the pastor daily. Pray for the pastor's protection. Pray for wisdom, God to give him wisdom and length of days and years. And pray for that God leads him and guides him and helps us. By the way, the stronger the preacher, the more you pray for the preacher, the more your family will be helped. Pray for him to get rest. Pray for productive days. Pray for him to have peace in his family and in his life. Pray for him, for his family, and pray for his wife. Let me say this. He can only do so much as his wife allows him to do. We that are married, we understand. I can only serve God as much as my wife allows. He said, you're the man of the house. Once you get married, you understand. We are the men of the house. And that's right. But it's so much better when we have a wife that cheers us on. Yes, honey, do it. If you want that to happen, if you think that's God's will, let's go. Pray that his wife is just behind him. You know what? Man, the great Charles Spurgeon. All these great preachers you read. Man, great preacher. If you ever did a study on their wife, God bless them. Some of them need to get saved. Pray for the pastor's wife. And let me say this. Miss Alma is an amazing woman. Ladies, embrace her. Thank her. She is a good example of a working pastor's wife. She does. They have pastors. Some pastor's wife, and I don't want to criticize other churches. They're princesses. They walk around. No, our pastor's wife, she's a servant. What can I do? Pray for her. Pray for their health. Pray for their children. As a church in 2020, let's have a heartbeat of prayer and say, I'm praying for my church. I'm praying for the health of my church. I'm praying for the pastor. I'm praying for the leaders. I'm praying that we stay straight. I'm praying that we stay narrow. We preach hard against sin. And we love the sinner. And by the way, that's what a church is here for. We love the sinner, but we hate sin because God hates sin. As Christians, let's not hobnob with sin. Oh, 2020, it's so sad sometimes. And I want to get rid of Instagram because I look at it sometimes thinking, oh my soul, I can't believe Christians are doing this. 2020, drinking is still wrong in the Bible like it was wrong back in the day. It's still wrong. Oh, it's just a little, you know, alcohol for the stomach. It's still wrong. Drinking is wrong. Okay, going on. Pray that our church is fervent in preaching and fervent in love for people. And by the way, we don't want to condemn people and anything like that. We condemn sin. If you're going out to a road and the bridge is broken, we don't want to say, oh, I love you, just keep going. No, we'll say, stop it! You're going to die! Pray for the church. Pray for the preacher at the church. Love him. Embrace him. And give him daily into prayer with God's help. Number two, provide. As a church member, how to be a good church member here, how to love our church, provide. Make sure as Christians we obey the Lord in our tithes and offerings. By the way, some people say, but if you don't tithe, God will get you and everything like that. And by the way, he will, that's truthful. The Bible says God will rebuke the devourer. The Bible says that if you don't give to God, the devourer will come. But I'm not going to go into that. You know what I'm going to? 2 Corinthians 9:6. But I say unto, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. You give sparingly, you get sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall man give into your bosom. For the same measure that he had meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God said, whoo, you give to me, I'm going to give back to you. By the way, let me say this. I challenge you in 2020 here. Have faith in God. Some of us, man, we pray and we ask God for everything. We trust God. We trust our God for our salvation. I mean, we're not going to hell. Once we're saved and we trust in Jesus Christ. We put our trust in him for salvation. Why don't we put our trust in him in our finances? Well, I just don't have money to. You don't have enough money not to give. Because you're robbing from the blessings of God. And God wants to pour out a blessing on you. And instead of giving to God and saying, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. We're like, put it in here. I don't know. That's where faith comes in. Oh, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love him. And by the way, your love for God is shown by your pocketbook. Where's your money going? God expects you, God requires you as a church member, as a Christian, to give to the local independent, to give to the church. You say, just the church talks about money every other word. No, then that would be high money, how money, our money, you money, doing money. Money is important. Let's provide. Let's do our best here. By the way, I thank God that as a young person, through the preaching of God's word, through reading my Bible and everything, I had a heart to give. It's not, I made this, I need to give. No, man. After all you've done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do any less than give him my best? You know, some of you know why the windows of heaven hasn't been poured out to you? Because of things of finances. You're not a good steward of what God has given you. You keep. You say, why are you talking about this? Because I want God's blessing on your life. I want the windows of heaven to be poured out on your life. It says, hey, prove me. A good church member prays. A good church member provides. Number three, a good church member practices. Practice is essential for success. If you want to get good at something, you must work at it. You cannot just show up and wing it. You've got to practice. You know, we're not like Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice here. Practice. Yeah, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Get into the game. Don't just sit on the sidelines. As a Christian, let's do our best to be here at every service. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be a part of practice here. You say, what are you talking about practice? The services of Pacific Baptist Church. And you're here Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Thursday night, soul winning. Whenever the church doors are open, be here. You don't understand. You don't know. Maybe that message that you missed, God would have used that message to change your life. God would have used that message to help your marriage. God would have used that message to challenge you to do something for him. Come there and be a part of it. You'll get the necessary biblical instruction that you need from God's word. Maybe the biblical instruction was preached that night or taught that night, God will use to change your life. An elderly woman, excuse me, was amazed how nice this young man was that lived next door to her. Every day he would help her gather things from her car or help her in her yard. One day the old lady finally asked the young man, son, how did you become such a fine young man? The young man replied, well, when I was a boy, I really had a drug problem. The old lady was shocked. I can't believe that. The young man replied, sure is right, it's true. My parents drugged me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, drugged me to church on Wednesday night, drugged me to church every time the doors were open. By the way, let me say this. Have your children be here at church. They don't understand. Get them in the habit of bringing them to church. Man, I don't know when my kids have missed service when they were real young. I want them to get them here. And he said, they're in the nursery and we want to leave them with somebody else. Get them to church. Get them to that habit. Sunday, I'm in church. I'm at practice. I'm here. I'm getting instruction from the coach. I'm getting instruction what to do. By the way, it's difficult sometimes as a coach when we go out into a game and somebody doesn't do what is preached or, if you will, taught or went over in practice. And go, man, what a cluckhead. You sit on the bench. Get in practice. You'll be encouraged by God's word and God's people. By the way, life is full of stress. Work, school, chores, shopping, and just everyday life and our other responsibilities, training. Let's get into practice and be encouraged by God's word. By the way, let me say this. We ought not only have come to practice to listen, but practice and practice what we or apply what we practice in church. You know, we're glad that you're here, and thank you for your sacrifice of being here. But don't just be hearers of the word only. But do. Let me say this. If some rich dude came to you and said, man, you know what? I have one principle. And you do that principle, you'll be a millionaire. What is it? I'll be like that too. Why? We want that nugget. You know what? The word of God. The Bible says it's better than gold. The Word of God is better than silver. The Word of God is better than precious stone. Let's do our best and let's apply it. It's so sad sometimes we have people that come here and then you'll work with them. They come, they have problems. And I'm thinking, if you were just at church, pastor just spoke about that. I had somebody I was counseling. They were coming and they said, Brother Ross, we need help. We need to go going through this. I said, if you come to Sunday school, I've been talking about that for the last 4 or 5 weeks on marriage. You need to come to that. Oh, we'll be there. Can we get notes? You come, you'll get the notes. But they want the knowledge. But they want to be here. Get to practice. Be here. Be involved in church. Number next, participate. A good church member participate. Get involved in the ministry of the church. By the way, some people, they just sit, soak, and sour. But as Christians, God has created us to serve. Don't just sit, soak, and sour. You know who the people that complain the most? You know who the people that, excuse me, gripe the most? And they get the most critical? Man, the pastor, they're preaching this, preaching that, and look at these people. Those are the people that do squat. That's in the Greek, meaning nothing. They don't do anything. They sit and criticize people that are working. Get out and do something for the Lord and be involved. Hey, you're here. You're here at the church. You do something. What ministry? Do you have the bus ministry? You have the children's ministry, the teen program, the Sunday school, adult Sunday school class, greeter, usher, security, nursery, music. That's just to name a few. By the way, God has given all of us talents. Let's participate. What can I do? 2020 here, we're sitting there, man, I'm not doing anything. Get involved. Jump right in. The water's fine. We're like this. No, just come right in. All right? We go camping just about every year. I take the kids. And one thing about camping in the high mountains, the water in the river, there's no showers where we usually go. So what we have to do, we have to go to the river. And that one time we had a men's camping trip, and Brother Tongdi brought his wife. There's his wife right there. I'm like, hey, everybody's, you know, swimming and everything. Miss Tongdi, you remember that, Miss Tongdi? She said, no, you're embarrassing me. I'm sorry. But that water up there is super cold. And the kids, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know. I said, man, just jump right in. Just jump in. Jump in. It'll be fine. We were in Laos one year, and it was Brother Oscar and I. We climbed this tree. We went to this place. It's like a blue lagoon place. It was more green than blue. And Brother Tongdi said, that's just this time of the year. I'm like, okay, whatever, man. So is it safe? We're not going to come out and, you know, turn to swamp thing or anything, are we? Went up. It was Brother Oscar and I. We climbed up the tree. I said, Oscar, we want to do this? He said, yeah, let's do it. So we jumped in. I jumped in. He jumped in. I jumped in first. I got up. It was freezing cold. But I got up. I go, whoo, this is awesome. He jumps in. I said, don't you dare scream and say it's cold or else we're the only two that's going to be in this water. They say, oh, is it cold? No, it's good. Jump in, man. And they knew, I mean, we got out. It's all slimy and everything. Like, we're the first ones there. And like, we're not done. We're not the only ones that are going to go jump in. Jump in. The water's fine. A good church member participates. By the way, a good church member has pride in church. We're not talking about a proud look or a haughty spirit. We're not talking about a proud, pride that is not right. We're talking about good pride. When you take pride in something, you value it, you adore it. You're not ashamed to show it off. You're not to do anything to hurt it or mar its reputation. Take pride in your church. I go to Pacific Baptist Church. I'm proud of it. By the way, act right because you represent the King. You represent the church. You represent your pastor. I go to Pacific Baptist Church and you start cussing. No, don't you go to the Mormon church over here. You go to First Lutheran. Take pride in the church. And lastly, promote and prospect. Promote and prospect. Be a part of showing people who the Savior is and what he can do for them. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By the way, let me say this. Promote Jesus. It's his church.
promote Jesus, carry tracts with you, tell people about the gospel. Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our church here is not a place where it's just fellowship. No, we come fellowship. But a church is a hospital for sinners. Let's go and bring them in. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of His blessing and tell of His love. Tell of His coming from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. Boy, the church is important. Pacific Baptist Church is important. I love our church. I love our state. I love our country. Our country is an amazing country. We have our flaws. Our state has our flaws. But I love California, and I love being a part of Pacific Baptist Church. I just pray, and I beg you, this year, pray for our church. Pray for the pastor. Man, get involved. Be here for everything. Be a furniture. Be a staple here at the church. And then promote Christ for the church. And let's pray.